Note the Vibes. Welcome back to the Hoop Genius Podcast. It's been a while since I said that, BJ. It's been a while since
I hit the Vibes.
I mean, you've been flying all around the world. You know, do you want to tell the people where you've been, or is that classified?
You know, it's not about me. It's about the NBA. This isn't about the NBA. It's not about me. Hey, I'm just here for service. I'm just here to give the people what they want. They want to hear about the NBA. They want to hear about this trade. They want to hear about the trades, what it means. Let's break it down, Mo. Let's get right into it.
All right. Well, first of all, a lot of NBA fans were upset that Zach Lowe got fired by ESPN. Shout out to Zach Lowe. I met Zach Lowe one time. I had a weird interaction with Zach Lowe, BJ. Do you want to know what happened when I met Zach Lowe?
What happened? Zach is a good guy.
I met him at the NBA Finals. And we spoke on the floor after the game, one of the games. And we were just chit-chatting. We had a good conversation, right? Mm-hmm. But, and this was like, you know, the NBA Finals, Warriors Celtics was just after COVID. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't in the business of shaking hands with people.
Right.
So we've had a good conversation. And so I put my fist out to fist bump him. He looked at my fist and he went to shake my hand, but I didn't open my fist. So he shook my fist like this with his hand. And it was the most awkward handshake in the history of the world. And then I realized he's like a 40-year-old white guy. I'm like, what was I expecting him to do? Like, fist bump me back. Like, okay, cool.
Zach,
he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Zach is a good guy. I've been knowing Zach for years. And, you know, at one point or another in your career, you, Mo, will even be at ESPN. Everyone has been through ESPN, so. Zach, well, he's in high demand. I'm sure he will land on his feet. And what he provides and his insight is interesting. So, unfortunate situation. However, I'm confident Zach will resurface this year, one way or another, talking about the NBA.
Yeah, it's a pretty how do I say, like, damning indictment of the direction in which NBA media is going.
Which direction are they going? What are they doing?
Well, he provided, in my opinion, some of the best coverage, one of the best people at ESPN in terms of, like, the in-depth storytelling and coverage of what goes on in the NBA. And you could tell he really watched every team that he talked about, and he had some great conversation on his podcast, so on and so forth. But it seems that ESPN just want the hot takes and the shouting and the debates and whatnot. So, you know, it's they just want the clicks, which is cool. But over here, we're going to keep it 100. Over here, we're going to keep it all the way 100 and give the people what they really need, which is real conversation with basketball. But what I will do for Mr. Zach Lowe is his intro style of his podcast is welcome to the Hoop Genius Podcast, where today we're talking about a league-shattering trade between the Nova Knicks, who are no longer the Nova Knicks, and the conference finalists from the Western Conference, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who traded away their number one draft pick, Karl Anthony Towns, in a shocking move, the biggest move that's happened since Adrian Wojnarowski also stepped down from ESPN. And to break it down with me today is Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ Armstrong, the man, the myth, the legend. BJ, how you doing?
Wow.
That's how he starts all his shows, just like that. So I'm like, should I steal his flow? Should I go full Drake?
Well, you showed me a little versatility there. I like it, Mo. I love the fact that you are versatile like that.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, man.
Yes.
But BJ, this trade, if you guys are listening to this and you don't know the trade that happened, weirdly, the exact 365 days after the Damian Lillard trade to the Milwaukee Bucks, I believe, late in the summer, kind of no one's expecting a trade. Everyone's kind of relaxing, waiting for training camp to begin. And then bang, out of nowhere, it was Shams who delivered the news, I believe, that Karl Anthony Towns has been traded to the New York Knicks in exchange for Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, a protected first round pick via the Pistons. And there were some other various moving pieces, which we're not going to dive into today. We're just going to talk about the main pieces in a trade. But it shakes things up big time. So do you want to first attack this from the Minnesota side or from the New York side?
Well, let's just jump right into it and go with the New York Knicks and talk about the trade. The elephant in the room is Karl Anthony Towns and what this means. Now, the core of their team, talking about the New York Knicks, you know, every team has a personality, a trait that they carry into their team, their DNA, if you will. And we talk about, you know, one of the favorite words, we talk about culture. You know, well, you hear people talk about we're building culture, we're building team and chemistry and all those things.
Yes, yeah, so some teams even have to write on their floor just in case the players forget.
Yes. And the New York Knicks, over the last couple of years now, they have built a team based on this identity of toughness, defense, and that they give maximum effort. Okay. They, you know,
yeah, they out hustle teams.
Yeah. Who, you know, who are those players, right? You know, the head of this snake is Jalen Brunson.
But there's no defense.
There's no defense there. However, he's a tough little player.
Yeah. Yep.
Then you had DiVincenzo. Then you had Josh Hart. Then you, they brought in your guy, OG. They had Julius Randle. They acquired all of these players that have a personality that fits Tom Thibodeau's personality.
And they drafted Mitchell Robinson as well.
Mitchell Robinson. They kind of, you know, they're kind of a team that kind of, you know, they're grinders. You know,
it's like New York as a city. Like the residents of New York is their team.
And and because of this, the team identifies with their style of play. They dive on the floor. They play defense. They hustle. They're kind of, you know, the underdog, if you will. And the city of New York has identified with this group. Now, when you start tinkering with your team, sometimes, Mo, you get better by not doing anything at all. Sometimes you're better by subtraction. This is going to be a different team. Now, on paper, you can't say anything about the trade. Carl Anthony Towns, he's 20-plus scorer. You're looking for a five-man who can pick and pop, space the floor. Everyone likes to shoot threes. You would pair him up, I'm assuming, at the center position or the power forward position, depending on how they're going to go with it.
I've got an interesting stat. You know, this is how far away from the basket on average was the other team's rim protector when each of these offenses attempted a shot last season. The Celtics offense, the rim protector stood 11 feet, 4 inches away from the basket against the Celtics. Does that make sense? So when you're playing the Celtics, it dragged the other team's five all the way out to 11 feet away because obviously Porzingis is a three-point shooting threat. Do you know which team was last in the league in terms of spacing the floor?
The Pistons.
The New York Knicks. Rim protectors only stood 7 feet away from the basket when they played against the Knicks because neither Hartenstein nor Mitchell Robinson, you weren't really worried about either of those guys shooting. So they've looked at this data and they've seen the Celtics. And it's, by the way, it's a big gap between the Celtics and the rest of the pack. They've seen the Celtics' success with the stretch five and they've went and gotten their very own to try and match up with them. You know, they've got now wing defenders that can switch and stuff like the Celtics of Brown and Tatum and Derek White and Holiday. And they've replicated that with getting Mikal Bridges, with OG, with Josh Hart, and I guess Brunson in there.
Okay. All the data and is great. You get all this data and you put it into your supercomputer, come back with, you know, quantum physics, and this is what you get. And they spit up. So they say, okay, now we have a player that can do that. And that sounds great. However, the core of this group now has definitely changed. They don't have a player on the defensive end as a big now to play that level of defense that, in my opinion, is one of the reasons why they had success.
Mitchell Robinson's still there, but he's injured a lot. And I've heard that he's on the trade block. I don't know.
Okay, Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein, I look at them as a two-headed monster. Now, Carl Anthony Towns is not going to play the power forward position because you just don't have enough bodies. You know, somebody's not going to play here, right? You have Carl Anthony Towns, OG, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson. Okay, somebody is going to be playing out of position here. I don't think OG's a four. I don't think Carl Anthony Towns is a full-time five. I don't see him playing as a full-time five. But maybe, Just like I look at Porzingis. Porzingis, Al Horford is a unique option that everyone keeps telling me Porzingis. It's not Porzingis I'm worried about. It's Al Horford.
Uncle Al.
Al Horford is everything that you're looking for in today's center. He can defend on the perimeter and the post with no help. He can shoot threes respectfully from certain areas on the floor. You can run your offense through him as a perimeter because most of the time
he can pass.
He can pass the ball from one side to another. And he can play against big guys and smaller guys. I mean, he's just a very versatile, unique player. And he allows Porzingis never has to guard the other team's best interior player. I'm going to repeat that. Porzingis never has to guard the other team's best interior player.
There's only three teams with good interior players anyway.
Okay. But what Porzingis doesn't do well, he doesn't play. He's not what I would consider a ground athlete that plays with physicality. Now, you allow him to play against the other players where he can roam and block shots. Now he's exceptional.
Mm.
Because Al Horford, Tillman, I believe, that's the other guy. And they have all these other players that can do all of that stuff. And then Porzingis kind of floats around. He blocks shots, rim protects a little bit. He picks and pops. He did a much better job this year than he just didn't float. Sometimes he would actually roll this year. Did an excellent job.
Yep.
So he did an excellent job. All of that was because of the versatility of Al Horford.
Mm.
I don't know how this is going to work, but I do know it's going to change the makeup of this team. It's going to change the makeup. So, for instance, I don't know what this is going to look like when you go a 1-5 screen roll with Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know what their defense is going to look like because their defense at the point of attack is not going to be DiVincenzo now, okay, who to me was a terrific player. To me, that's a big loss for this team because he provided so much of their intangibles that he brought to the floor.
On the hustle plays. Remember that huge shot that he got after the offensive rebounds and stuff like that?
And Jalen Brunson, these guys are stars. Don't get me wrong. He's a star. He's a legit 25-plus scorer. He's legit. However, someone's going to have to defend those other teams' guards. And you're going to have, you know, second ball handlers, secondary ball handlers. And you're going to have to figure out these combinations because I don't see a shot blocker now. I don't see a level of physicality other than OG, right? I mean, Josh Hart was playing the four last year as an undersized power forward.
Josh Hart's a physical player, but he's smaller.
But he's smaller.
Rebounding guard in the league, but he's smaller.
Bridges
he's one of the best perimeter defenders, but he's not you don't think of toughness when you think of Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
Respectfully to him. He doesn't
play the same style of play of like a DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo is like one of those guys that, you know, loose balls, all the little things that he does on the floor that you respect.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that now. So I think the makeup of this team, I think the personality of this team drastically changes. And I like it on paper. Sounds good, feels good. I'm sure Knicks fans are excited. They should be excited because they've pushed their chips all the way to the middle of the table. But I'm not convinced of this group. I'm just not convinced.
I think a big reason is the Celtics, who are the reigning champions, you're going to have to go through them, really, if you want to go through the East, unless, you know, something drastic happens to the Celtics and they don't get back to where they're trying to go. But the teams that they struggled against last year were the Denver Nuggets, the Milwaukee Bucks, even the Timberwolves gave them some problems. And all of those teams had a common theme going through them, and that's a pick and pop big, because mm-hmm. that can disrupt Boston's defensive scheme in a way that most other teams cannot. And you've now gone out and got the league's leading pick and pop scorer in Karl-Anthony Towns. I think they thought more about playing the Celtics in the playoffs with this move than anything else. How are we going to match up with Boston? And when you go down the route of making moves with another team in mind, have you ever seen that work? The Houston Rockets tried to do it when the Golden State Warriors were making their run to the finals every year. They tried to make a team that could match up with the Warriors And it was good. It gave them a challenge, but it never beat them. So that's where I'm at with it. You know what I mean?
I want to say this because it's a complicated scenario that we have here with this Knicks team. All of those things sound good if you were starting the playoffs today or tomorrow. You have to get through the regular season. Offense is great. It's pick and pop, all those things. If you're going to win a championship, you can ask the Boston Celtics, your Boston Celtics. If you're going to win a championship, you must be prepared to get a stop.
Yep. Do you think that Julius Randle missing the playoffs last year factored in more into this decision as well? Because it's kind of more out of sight, out of mind.
I don't know this. I don't know the business of the Knicks. My outside observation is this is a business decision now. It's a business decision. And why do I say that? It's because at some point here, Jalen Brunson is your star. You just paid Josh Hart. OG just got paid. And Mikal Bridges, you traded for. You're not trading him to let him walk out. You're trading him because he's going to be in the long-term plans. Julius Randle was next up. Okay? Julius Randle was next up. So they made a decision. And we'll see what happens. So clearly it wasn't a long-term play with Julius Randle staying there for whatever the reasons it may be. And then they acquired Karl-Anthony Towns. How many years does he have left on his deal?
I'm just putting up his contract right now. He signed a four-year, 220 deal, which will expire. Well, he has a player option for 27-28 season, but I'm assuming he'll take it because that's a $61 million deal. The other thing is that people don't like to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it because I don't care. Karl-Anthony Towns is represented by CAA, which most of the Knicks roster is represented by CAA. That's just maybe a coincidence.
But Julius Randle was represented by CAA.
Is he still?
Yeah. So,
interesting.
I mean, which is fine. You know, there's all the conspiracy. Again, I just keep it on the court. I don't know that. There's no way to prove that. So why even go there?
Well, Julius Randle left CAA in September of 2023.
Okay. So, and then what did he do? And he came back.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair play. But that's the conspiracy that floats around the New York Knicks.
Like, that's why we stay on the court here. The bottom line with this trade is this puts a lot of expectations on the Knicks.
Yeah.
I think if you're just looking from the Celtics lens, I see how and why they did this. But you have 28 other teams that they're going to have to play against.
The other thing is, if you're looking at this through the Celtics lens, okay, I dare you to play Karl-Anthony Towns at the four against Boston because he does not want to see Jason Tatum. Because every time he's got to guard Jason Tatum, that man's on roller skates. So.
But you can say that with everyone in the league against Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum puts everyone on skates. I mean, he's just a great player. He's a great offensive talent.
Okay, but what I'm saying is against the Celtics, there's nowhere to hide Karl-Anthony Towns on defense because they've got four guys who can cook off the perimeter.
Karl-Anthony Towns and Al Horford is a good matchup.
But Al Horford is a sixth man.
When the playoffs begin, Al Horford is going to play starter minutes.
We'll see.
Al Horford they don't win a championship without Al. Al provides something that you can't really coach. One, he is a phenomenal ball distributor from the center position because your point guard comes up the floor, throws it to Al, and you're not worried about him having a turnover as they move the ball from one side of the floor to the other. Al is capable of rebounding the ball and dribbling it up the court.
Yeah.
In a transition type place and make the right play. Al Horford can run dribble weave with the best of them. Al Horford can fake, reverse pivot, do all of the things. He is really skilled, which we don't talk about, but I can assure you, every team in the league would love to have an Al Horford because that's the one position where you don't pressure the ball.
Yeah.
Probably the only guy that can pressure it, that can think off the top, is Draymond Green. He's probably the only other guy that could pressure the ball on the perimeter at the five position. Every other five just kind of does, you know, they do what they do. And on the defensive end, Al Horford is an exceptional defender. Okay. Even though he's what? He's got to be closer in on 40 now.
38.
Okay.
Maybe you're turning 38 this year.
So with that, let's give Uncle Al some credit here. Al Horford is a phenomenal player, and he allows them to play Porzingis and these guys. These guys can float now because Al does all of the dirty work. He does all of the dirty work. And they call him a sixth man during the regular season. Well, that's very smart. Why? Why have Al playing just minutes at this stage during the regular season? Keep him ready for where you need him in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I understand that load management.
Yeah.
These guys who are in their 20s load managing. Now, I don't
think that. Let's get back to the Knicks, though.
To the Knicks, though.
I could see that one going in a different direction. Let's get back to the Knicks.
Let's get back to the Knicks. You know, let's get back to the Knicks. Well, I'm saying I like it. I have concerns. I have concerns, especially if they go 500. I just have concerns.
Wow, 500. That's crazy. Do you think 500, the Knicks,
like in the first, when I say 500, in the first part of the season?
Okay,
this is New York.
So if it gets off to a rough start.
They go 5-5. They go 5-5. Everyone's going, this is New York. This isn't
So let me ask you this. Which team in the NBA has the best starting five on paper? Because a lot of people are saying it's the Knicks now.
I think OKC is up there.
Oh, I agree. I think the OKC. Celtics and OKC are up there. I also think Denver, if you're just looking purely at starting five, well, maybe not now without KCP. Besides the point, let's talk about the other side of the trade right now, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, when I looked at this trade, I think it's purely a financial trade that they made this. It was inevitable at some point they would have to make a move like this. I didn't expect it to come after they beat the reigning champions and went to the conference finals. I didn't expect it to be so soon. I thought they'd at least run it this year to see. But you got to remember, the Timberwolves are currently in the process of being sold. Glenn Taylor's selling the team to A-Rod, who doesn't want to pay a lot of luxury tax. So they are taking off Karl-Anthony Towns' enormous contract. So it is a financial move because Karl-Anthony Towns, to his credit, was the number one draft pick there. He came in and he gave the keys to Anthony Edwards and really let him step up. And this year he figured out how to play alongside Rudy Gobert as well. And things were looking really good. At one point, we were all talking about the Timberwolves maybe making the finals. So it is surprising from a basketball perspective, but I think it's more of a financial move than anything else. Would you agree?
I think this addresses some of the things I saw with this team a year ago. And one, the first thing is you have to figure out how to complement the defensive player of the year, okay, in Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is defensive player of the year. And then we get to the playoffs and he becomes a liability on the floor.
I don't think he becomes a liability on the floor. I think anyone in the world who has to guard Luka Doncic with 10 seconds left on the game clock, one-on-one on the perimeter, is going to end up the same way.
Okay, but we've seen this in years past. We saw it against the Clippers. We've seen every year somehow he's been exploited in these screen roll situations. Okay, now, the guy is what, 7'2"? So, okay, I see it. However, I think this move, we can't forget the following. Let's go back to the beginning. When this trade was made for Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns, we can check the receipts. I told you I liked the trade.
Yes, you
and
did.
There were a lot of
people. And it's hilarious because we were saying the opposite.
Yes, and I told you I liked it. And everyone was like, oh, you can't play with the bigs. And, oh, you can't do this. Today's game is small. And then 2 years have gone by, and they get to the conference finals, and they beat the defending world champions with those guys. However, in the following round, all right, versus Luka Doncic, you saw another weakness kind of pop up. They weren't versatile enough to really figure out the combinations that's needed to play. Now, I think this trade with Randolph has the potential to really work out well, provided one thing has to happen. Naz Reid, Big Jelly, is going to have to really take a jump this year.
The reigning sixth man of the year, and I think he's ready to make that jump.
And I'm not saying to play like a sixth man. I'm saying to be consistent. Think about this. Naz Reid, sixth man of the year. If I remember correctly, Julius Randle at one point was sixth man of the year, right? Or
no, most improved.
Most improved, okay. I think Julius Randle and Naz Reid, that combination, if they can figure out how to play with each other effectively, I think this gives them a very versatile front court, along with, to me, perhaps the one of those sneaky trades that will work in. DiVincenzo, again, you put him in with McDaniels at the wing position and Anthony Edwards. I think this has a chance. Okay. I like Naz Reid. I like their six players. All right.
Do you know what? Can you tell me a team in the NBA that has a better trio coming off the bench than Naz Reid, Dante DiVincenzo, and Nickeil Alexander-Walker?
That's what I'm saying. I like this trade. I like this for Minnesota. They have depth, they've got toughness, and they can defend, and they can defend multiple ways now. They can defend big, they can defend small, they can play physical, and they're athletic. And their best player is their best defensive player, even though Rudy Gobert is defensive player of the year. Anthony Edwards is a terrific defender. Naz Reid, terrific defender. DiVincenzo.
McDaniels. Alexander Walker.
I think
Alexander Walker and McDaniels might even be better than Anthony Edwards at defense.
That's what I like this trade. I do. And then let's not, and then you have Conley still there. I like this trade for them.
Conley's like the guard version of Al Horford for them.
Yes. The guy is solid. He's really, really solid. That's a good call by you, Mo. So I like this trade. Again, I like it because they learned last year how to play without Karl Anthony Towns. So I think they win 50 games. Yes, when he was injured last year, I think they win 50 games regardless. If Julius Randle can figure out his spacing on this team and play with play with Anthony Edwards, I think they have a real chance to be a really, really good team.
If we go back to the stats when we talk about the pick and pop, and I said Karl Anthony Towns was the best pick and pop screener in the league, do you know who's third on that list? Miles Turner is second. Naz Reid is third. Yeah, so he can give you a lot of what Karl Anthony Towns was giving you. But here's my question for you. When you're playing offense for the Timberwolves, you've got Rudy Gobert, who's essentially in the dunker spot in the paint somewhere thereabouts on the interior. You've got Anthony Edwards, who wants to drive to the hoop. And you've got Julius Randle, who wants to be at the elbow or drive to the hoop as well. How are you going to fit all of that into an offense?
I think it's simple. I think it's really simple. And here's why I say that. Mo, as a coach, you have to figure out how to play in combinations. And more importantly, you got to figure out the best combinations on the floor. Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle. That's a non-starter for me. Anthony Edwards is the first option.
So you're just going to tell Julius Randle to space the floor?
No, Mo. This is what you do. My job as the head coach, my job as an executive is to figure out how to make sure that I get Julius Randle his touches when Anthony Edwards is not on the floor. So you have a 12-minute quarter. Okay. I bring Julius Randle out at the 6-minute mark. Okay. Anthony Edwards gets the first 8 to 10-minute run. Then I bring him out, and then he plays from 10 minutes to like 6 minutes in the second quarter where he does his thing. See, I think this is an opportunity for them to have two teams in one now. So you have, when teams go small, which most of the teams do now, Julius Randle can play five in the East and the Western Conference for sure. So when you play against those Draymond teams, Sabonis teams, and all of that, he fits right in. When you start playing against Zion and those guys, he fits right into that game. But then they have big guys where they can play tall now. They can play Naz and Rudy Gobert. But I just think it gives him a lot of versatility, and it gives him a guy who can score when Anthony Edwards isn't on the floor.
Yeah.
And you saw that in the series against Dallas.
Anthony Edwards had kind of run out of gas, and you really needed that secondary guy who can go out there.
And here's the thing. Like, you need someone who can score when your best player is not on the floor. Well, Julius Randle can do that. So I'm not worried about him and Julius playing 40 minutes together. And even if he is playing 40 minutes together, then you know what? He's got to figure out how to play off of Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is a star. It's his team. Mm-hmm. Julius Randle, my job is to figure out how to get Julius Randle to be the best second option in the entire NBA. He doesn't need to carry the team like he did for many years prior to Jalen Brunson getting there.
Yeah.
Okay. He was an all-star. We know he can score. We know he plays with force. We know he's going to demand a double team. I like this trade, but he's got to figure it out. And I think both teams made a trade where it's going to provide some interesting dynamics here. I think when you look at the trade, you can say this will help both teams. However, Julius has a chance to really provide something in this team if he accepts his role. He's not the first option, and he has to give a defensive effort. Now, if it's one thing of the trade that I think to me is going to be the most interesting is what kind of defensive effort is he going to bring? Because Rudy Gobert behind him will be excellent, just like Mitchell Robinson behind him was excellent. Anthony Edwards is just like, you know, defensively like OG and all these other guys that he's played with. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think it's just a matter of him accepting that he won't be the first option. However, he should be able to play from the free throw line down and really terrorize the floor, because Rudy Gobert is not going to demand the ball on the post. There's no other player that can play from the post other than Anthony Edwards. So I think this is a really good move for their team. And if they defend, I think they have a really chance. I think they have a chance in the Western Conference to really advance, Mo, past the conference finals, if it comes together for them.
Okay, here's a question for you. Last season, the Timberwolves got to the conference finals. The mm-hmm. Knicks missed out on the conference finals, but they had so many injuries, and that was the reason why mm-hmm. they weren't there. Which team goes further this season coming up?
Well, just by the conference, the Western Conference to me is a little bit tougher than the Eastern Conference. I think the Knicks probably have a better chance statistically, but I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota made it. I just think it's going to be really tough in the Western Conference. I mean, listen, I can't go into a series and bet against Jokic. I don't care who's on his team. Okay.
Me and okay. You.
Yeah. You know what? Jokic can figure it out. Jokic almost beat Team USA literally by himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Should have said it, guys, too. But yeah.
Yeah. They need a brilliant display of shooting by Steph Curry to get through it. So Jokic, I'm not going to bet against him.
OKC.
OKC is going to be good. Dallas is going to be good. You know, Minnesota, Memphis is going to be back. Ja, hopefully those guys are healthy.
New look Pelicans. You know, can I interest you Pelicans. In some new look Pelicans with DeJounte Murray?
Yes, the Pelicans.
Can I interest you in a DeMar DeRozan Sacramento Kings, or are we going too
yes,
far
now? Yes, now you're talking. That's what I'm saying. I think the West
now,
is
I think that one's a bit too far, though.
We haven't said the Lakers. We got to say the Lakers.
No, we're doing that. If I'm not saying the Kings, there's no way on earth I'm saying the Lakers.
Yeah, and then you have Golden State, right? You know, they have Golden State.
Yep.
And in all seriousness, the Houston Rockets, I think, are going to be much better.
Phoenix, no, we're
Phoenix
going too far.
Phoenix Suns. Yeah, well, no. Listen, Kevin Durant, Booker, you know, those guys. Yeah, so I'm saying, stop. But I would say the Knicks. To answer your question, I would say the Knicks.
Yeah, it's just Celtics or Knicks in the East.
In the Eastern Conference. Well, I'm not gonna bet against our friend Giannis. If he's out there on the floor, my friend.
I just
Giannis.
Worry about the depth on the Bucks. Like, they've won one too. Series since 2021. They've won one playoff series since 2021.
But
it's now coming, it's gonna be 2025.
Floor, if Giannis is on the floor, I'm not.
I think he got to get out of there, but that's a whole different conversation.
Okay.
That's a whole different conversation. But But BJ, were you surprised by this trade? Because I know that Knicks have been after Cat for a long time now.
I was not surprised by this trade. I was not surprised. Actually, I was anticipating a trade by the Knicks. And the reason being is because, you know, you look at why teams do trades, and, you know, financially, it just seemed like this was the right time to make a trade. If you were going to make a trade, I was surprised they gave up DiVincenzo. Now, I think that's going to be.
See, I heard he wasn't happy that now he'd be coming off the bench after what he did in the playoffs last year. But they traded for his friend from Villanova, Mikal Bridges, which is why he's coming off the bench, which is an interesting situation.
Well, you know, again,
I also heard Jalen Brunson didn't like Julius Randle, but that's just rumors now.
Yeah, I don't know.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Tom Thibodeau, as a coach, he was a big fan of Julius Randle. Matter of fact, the day before the trade or 2 days before the trade, Tom Thibodeau and Julius Randle were out in the city of New York and they were helping start construction on some new housing being built or something like that. I can't remember what it was. I just saw them with some shovels and stuff like that. You know, Karl-Anthony Towns was coached by Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota. It didn't go great for him in Tibbs' defensive scheme on the Timberwolves. Do you think that new kind of second star player and the head coach, do you think they're going to mesh well? Or do you think, I don't know, because Tibbs seemed to really like Julius. And now, especially if they move Julius around, Mitch Robinson as well.
This is what I know about Coach Thibodeau. Everything you can talk about him, you can talk about their style of play, you can talk about all those things. Tom Thibodeau is a defensive coach. I am fascinated to see, that's who he is at his core.
Yeah, he was the defensive coordinator for the Celtics in 2008 when they won a championship, and then he became a head coach of the Bulls.
That's who he, now, you can serve, again, this is, I'm talking about this from a championship perspective. Your Boston Celtics last year, I don't know the analytics mode because I don't look at the analytics. I look at the game and I look at what's, you know, who can defend. The Celtics were the best, in my opinion, the best defensive team in the league last year.
Yes.
Because they don't have to.
The numbers said the Timberwolves were one and Celtics were two, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Because the Celtics don't have to double team at any position.
Nope.
They don't have to double team at any position.
You've got to be able to hold your own on every position.
I could see why the Minnesota Timberwolves were the best, because Rudy Gobert erases all of your problems with his defensive presence. He really does. But there is something that you can't do that you can do against the Minnesota Timberwolves for the most part. If there is one place where they try to pick on the Celtics, it would be Al Horford on a screen roll. Luka Doncic.
They tried and it didn't work.
That's right.
The theory was good though.
Yes. That's the only area of weakness. Their guards are exceptional. Okay. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, exceptional. And now you got Porzingis and Al Horford.
By the way, Jaylen Brown's come back to training camp looking like a damn bodybuilder. So yeah, I don't know how anyone's going to get past him next year.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So I understand the following. If we're looking at the Knicks now from a championship caliber lens, the Knicks are going to win 50 plus games next year. I make no doubt about that. They are that talented. They're going to just beat people on talent now. But we're talking about winning a championship. You can win a championship, Mo, with one guy who may be a weak defender. It's going to be very hard, though. Almost impossible, in my opinion, to win a championship with two guys who aren't above average defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's my only question here. I am sure they are going to provide the effort because Tom Thibodeau. However, these teams and these coaches in this league, they are phenomenal at finding a weakness. Mitchell Robinson is going to have to figure. He's the only one that I know in their interior with OG. I don't think OG is a four. I think he can play four in today's game? Yes. Do I think he can play a steady diet of OG and Josh Hart? No. I don't.
Not in the regular season for long, like if long Mitch stretches. Is out for a long time.
Yes, but can you plug it in? Yes. Do I think OG can play against Paolo when they play Orlando. Yes, I think he can do that. But do I think he can start playing against, you know, the Joel Embiids and these guys? No, I don't think so. Okay. We'll see how this is going to work. We're going to see on the defensive end. I'm looking for defensive questions. I want to see how they're going to defend without Mitchell Robinson. I think Precious is going to have to provide valuable minutes for them because I don't see another big right now, as is constructed, this roster is constructed, that they're going to be able to get away with just playing Karl-Anthony Towns as the five. I don't see that. Mm-hmm. If you can figure out how to maybe add another big in there that can provide minutes or someone that could be on the roster that we're not seeing right now, and that those are questions we don't know. That to me is the only end. They're going to score. They have a team. They have depth. They're going to be well coached. We know they're going to be well prepared. They're going to be one of the best conditioned teams in the league, no doubt about it. But I am concerned if they can't defend, and I'm very concerned if they get off to a slow start because that's New York, because they're going to be coming for everybody. Okay.
Yeah.
And there is pressure on the Knicks this year. There's pressure to, at the very least, get to the conference finals.
New York fans think they're going to win a championship this year.
That's what I'm saying.
Conference finals. They're the best team in the league now.
Yes. Yeah, so and you know what? I'm for it. I'm all about it. I'm excited to see this team. I like the fact that they did it. It's New York, but Mo, this could go south real fast just because this team was built on defense. And you hear me talk about it. I know it's not the most exciting thing to talk about. You don't win a championship without it. And we're talking about a championship caliber team who, on paper, they're not a championship caliber defensive team right now.
No.
They're nowhere near Minnesota or Boston as is.
Well, when you think about it, though, if they were to play Karl-Anthony Towns at the four, right? Mm-hmm. It's similar to the Timberwolves last year because you've got that rim protected presence. They have Rudy Gobert. They've got Mitchell Robinson. You've got yes. Karl-Anthony Towns at the four. And then mm-hmm. you've got OG, Bridges,
and Brunson. Yeah. If Mitchell Robinson, who they report is not coming back to December or January, comes back and provides that for this team, it could be interesting because he can erase the mistakes.
Mm.
See, that's when you start playing with players who can't defend, you can get away with it if you have someone who's exceptional. Mitchell Robinson has the capability to be exceptional. Why? Because he can erase mistakes. No one else on their roster on the interior can erase a mistake. That to me is what I'm looking for. I'm looking saying, okay, now Mitchell Robinson can give them a presence. Mitchell Robinson has the capability to make you into a big team, a big physical team.
Mm.
Now you're talking about, I mean, look at the size. OG at the three is a totally different than OG at the four.
Yep. Yep.
Mikal Bridges at the two is a big two guard, but he's average size at the three. Yep. Brunson is a big little guard. He's small in height, but he's a big guard.
Yeah.
As far as his style of play, he's a physical player. And now you have Karl-Anthony Towns, who's tall. He's 7 foot. And then you follow that up with another big man. Mitchell Robinson is a big man. He's every bit of 7 feet. That is a different – that to me is saying, oh, then now that's interesting. That's a very interesting defensive group because of Mitchell Robinson, OG, and Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
And not Brunson, well, Brunson. And Bridges. And Bridges. And Bridges.
Yep.
Now that's interesting to me. That's like, okay, because you have height, you should be able – Karl-Anthony Towns should be able to rebound
at the four. Definitely.
Because of his size.
Yeah, definitely.
Karl-Anthony Towns.
Much smaller force. He's 7 foot
yes,
tall.
Yes. And then you can play different ways. Now, that to me is a fascinating team. But he's out. He's going to be out. But we'll see how it turns out. I think they have to sign another big.
Yep, definitely.
Another guy who maybe could fill in that role. And but I want to say this as we're talking. I like these. I like the trades for both teams. I think this is a good trade. You know, sometimes Mo, you will make a trade where it's a win-win. I think both teams have the potential for this to be good for both scenarios.
I agree.
Not often you can say that.
I agree.
But I do think because of the pressure of New York, I just hope for them that they get off to a good start. Because if they don't,
yeah. But if you start the season with Cat at the five, and then Mitch Robinson comes back in December, January,
mm-hmm.
then Colin Towns moves to the four, yes. You don't have another training camp. You don't have another preseason. You've already missed the whole summer without him on the roster. So then you have to change your style of play midway through the season, which would be tricky. Yeah. So it would be optimal for them if they had someone that could play the five. So Towns is used to playing in that four position. So when Mitchell Robinson comes back, it's a seamless transition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be good, you know. But I'm ready to get the season started. Well, I mean,
I can't wait.
I'm ready for it.
And I know everyone's going to be asking about Derrick Rose's retirement. Shout out to Derrick Rose every time. We will do that on tomorrow's episode. We'll talk about his illustrious career. We'll be back tomorrow with another one for you. So appreciate it, guys. Sorry for the little absence. I ain't gonna lie, BJ. It did me some good though. It did me some good. You know, I wear this Whoop band on my wrist. Right.
Okay.
And it tracks your health data and all of that kind of stuff. It also tracks your sleep. This past 2 weeks where we haven't really been doing the podcast is the best sleep I've ever had in my life. It might not look like it because I permanently look tired, but
yeah,
I managed to get some rest. So we're ready for the season.
I'm really excited for you because I'm always encouraging you to take better care of yourself.
I'm taking care of myself.
You take care of yourself. But I'm always encouraging you to take better care.
Me, man. I'm just looking for someone to take care of me. Come on, man. It's cold on these streets. I'm just looking for someone to take care of me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to take care of everything else. I'm trying to take care of everyone. Come on, dog. Yeah, it's gonna be good. But we'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk about Derrick Rose with time. So make sure you guys do not miss that one. And subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. You can join the Discord as well. I'll be streaming on Twitch. Make sure you tune in, all that good stuff. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.